Praise the Lord. Beautiful day here in northern Vermont. It's about 34 degrees and currently not doing anything, but it was snowing earlier and then freezing rain. And they told us we were expecting 1 to 3 inches before it turns over to rain to turn it all to slush. So we shall see what happens. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to those listening online. Those who aren't here, Jackie, we believe she's in transit back to Texas right now. Heard from Sue this morning, and she was thinking maybe we were going to be canceling because of the weather forecast. And to be honest, I didn't see the weather. I didn't hear the weather forecast until we were almost here anyway. So, but the roads aren't too bad right now. The plow trucks have been by, the sanding trucks. Today's the 25th of February, and here we are. We've been talking for the past couple of weeks about the armor of God. We talked about the armor of God as a whole, then we talked about our breastplate and our helmet, and last week we talked about our shield. Today I want to talk about our sword. Let me first off say, before I say anything else about it, the sword of the Spirit is not a weapon to be used against other people. First thing, the word of God is spiritually discerned. And a person who is not spiritual is not going to understand the word of God in the first place. That's what the Bible tells us. So, in fact, it also says that the things of God are foolish to the people around us. So if we are taking the Word of God and using it as a weapon against people that don't know the Lord, it's not going to have any effect. It's going to make us and it's going to make God look bad. And it's going to be counterproductive. And if we are using the Word of God as a sword, as a weapon against other believers, we have a warning against that. The Bible says it's impossible but that offenses shall come. But woe be to the one by whom they come. It would be better for that person that a millstone were cast or put around their neck and they cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. So what is the Word of God for? If the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and it's not to be used against unbelievers, and it's not to be used against other believers, what's it to be used for? You ever stop and think about that? That's why we're calling this sword practice. And the picture on the front of the bulletin is two guys with wooden swords practicing. Another thing I thought about, if anybody has ever seen, years and years ago, the movie Conan the Barbarian, where Conan would have his sword and just practice swinging his sword around all the different moves, whether there was an opponent there or not, practicing with the Word of God, or practicing with the sword. So that's what I'm talking about with sword practice. First off, reading from Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. It says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're putting on the armor of God that we may be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked one. whatever the devil throws at us, we may be able to withstand. And having done all to stand, stand. Having done everything you can, having made all the preparations that we can, we are called to stand. There is a scripture that says, in due season we will reap if we don't faint. In due season we will get the answer if we don't give up standing. So sword practice, part of the armor of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. In Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." Sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So what do we use it for? How do we practice it? When we open the Word of God, if we open the Word of God and we're reading along and we see our neighbor in there, boy, Fred really needs to read this passage. Boy, Martha could get a hold of this one, instead of saying, "Oh, God does see my heart. Oh, this applies to me." I've told you so many times about having gone through an issue with my supervisor at work and been very vocally rebellious, and all of a sudden that scripture, "Servants, be obedient to your masters, not just the good ones." And it pierced my heart, because the sword of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we open the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, it is not to make us more powerful against other people. It is to clear out the dross. It is to clear out the imperfections. It is to show us how much we need God to change us. It is to show us that we don't come before the throne of God having our own righteousness, but having the righteousness of Jesus. It is to show us that in and of ourselves, we are not able to approach the throne room, but because of what Jesus has done. It is to bring up those things where we need to submit them to the Lord. That's what the sword of the Spirit is for. To reveal who we are. To reveal the wickedness and the issues within our own hearts, so that we can lay them down at the cross, so we can bring them before the throne of God, so we can ask to be cleansed, to be changed, to be modified, to be made holy, to be made righteous. Lord, change me. Change my heart, O God. So that when those temptations and the fiery darts of the wicked one come up, they have nothing to grab a hold to. Because we don't have our secret sins. We don't have our pet attitudes, or we don't have our whatever it is that separates us from God, to give the devil a foothold in our life. Sword practice. Practicing wielding the Word of God as a tool for examining ourselves. In Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9, says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereof according to your word." Isn't that the answer to all of our problems? How can I be more the way God wants me to be? Paying attention to God's word and applying it to our life. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. I'm doing everything I can to seek the face of God. Everything I can to draw close to the Lord. And ignoring the commandments, that doesn't work. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As we apply it to our life, as we hide it in our hearts. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. Do we treasure the Word of God? Do we treasure what God has already given us? Do we apply it to our lives? Do we let God change us? Praise God, I'm not the person I used to be. Praise God, each and every one of us, as we submit to the Lord, He begins changing us. And we've talked so many times about how silver and gold are purified. They take the crushed up ore and they put it in the smelting pot and begin turning up the heat and the pressure. And as they do, the impurities keep coming up to the surface. How about in our own lives when the pressure and the heat come on and the impurities come up? Do we try to just turn down the heat, turn down the pressure? Or do we say, cleanse me, Lord. Make me more like Jesus. Verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Again, this is all going back to a passage that starts with that talks about how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereof according to your word. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate on your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Sword practice is reading the word of God and applying it to our lives. Not reading the word of God and try to figure out who would benefit if we told them this. Not reading the word of God and say, well, you know, that guy over there that goes to that other church, he's pretty messed up. I want to make sure he sees this scripture. Have we seen it done? Yep. Have we done it? Prayerfully not, but probably. What's the solution? How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereof according to your word. That sword practice. Practice applying God's word to our lives. Not just looking at it as, oh yeah, then, David sure was a sinner. Peter sure was arrogant and mouthy. James and John were always trying to start trouble. Samson, the only thing he ever got right was not getting his hair cut. And then he went and blew that. Noah, look at the problems he had. We can go through and we can point out issues, but do we apply what the Word of God says? Do we take the examples and apply them to our own lives? It's very, very easy to point a finger at somebody else. But I started this by saying that the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit is not a weapon to be used against the unbeliever. Because first off, it's not going they don't know it. It doesn't make sense to them. And it just gets in the way. And it's certainly not what we use against another believer. See, Paul said at one point, that all of you who are like-minded, let's continue to work in this. I don't remember exactly where it is, exactly how it's worded. But what he says is that those of us who are like-minded should pursue this path, do what God has called us to do. And those who are otherwise minded, God will change your mind. God will reveal even this unto you. So if our desire is to see people get to know Jesus by being like Jesus, by letting God's Word change us, then we're not that rock of offense. We're not that stone of stumbling. We're not causing offenses everywhere we go to other people. If people get offended at you because of how you live, when you are living in a way according to God's Word, that is not your problem. If people get offended because you're trying to shove the Word of God down their throat and not living it yourself, that is your problem. Woe, It is impossible but that offenses would come, but woe be to the one by whom they come. It would be better for that man that a millstone were hung around his neck and him cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. We are called to be a light and an encouragement to the people around us. We are called to be a blessing to the people around us. 2 Corinthians 10. Before I do this. No, never mind. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 3. I was going to go off topic there for a minute and decided against it. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 3, says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God." We're still talking about the sword of the Spirit. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This is not a weapon to be used against a person that doesn't understand. But they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And that sounds like a wondrous thing. We're going to pull down these strongholds. But then it goes on to say that it's casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to be the obedience of Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have the ability to bring captive somebody else's thoughts? So what is this saying? This is saying the Word of God is so that we can examine ourselves. The Word of God is so that we can evaluate who we are. Find out what's going on in us. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which we read in Hebrews, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. In one of the epistles of Peter, I don't remember which one, it talks about how wisdom from above is patient. Wisdom from above is kind. Wisdom from above, God's wisdom, is loving and reaches out, whereas wisdom from below, man's wisdom, is, it says, it's soulish. It's more involved in our feelings and our interpretation and you know, manipulating the people around us than going by what is right. Piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Are we led by the Spirit of God or are we led by the soul of man? Are we led by God working in us and surrendering ourselves to Him? Or are we led by trying to do things our own way, seeking our own benefit, seeking our own pleasure? What are we doing? What's the Word of God for? To define those things, to lay those things out to bear, so that as we apply the Word of God to ourselves. You know, I mentioned earlier as we're going through and talking about how messed up David was. Keep in mind, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Because when David was confronted with his sin, granted he didn't rush right out and say, "Oh, I have sinned." But he had to get confronted. But when he was confronted with his sin, he repented. When he was confronted with the sin of numbering Israel, because it was a prideful thing, and he was given three options, he said, "Let us fall into the hands of God, for maybe God will be merciful." He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to manipulate the circumstances. He said, "I need to turn back to God. Last passage of Scripture, Galatians 5, beginning with verse 13, says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And again, going back to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, what is the purpose? What are we doing with it? The sword of the Spirit is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As we read the Word of God and apply it to our lives, we see those areas that we still need to submit to the Lord. And maybe it's, "Lord, I sinned again." And maybe it's, "Lord, I thought I was through with this, but it keeps coming back up." Whatever it is. But it's not a weapon to use against other people. The warning here in Galatians is, if you bite and devour one another, be careful that you're not consumed by one another. If we try to use the Word of God as a weapon against other believers, don't be surprised when it gets turned around on us. And guess what? If we're trying to use the weapon as the sword of the Spirit as a weapon against other people, we're already guilty. It doesn't take a whole bunch to point that out. Sword practice should be reading the Word of God and applying it to our lives. Like I said at the beginning, the picture on the front of the bulletin is two guys practicing with wooden swords. We need to learn how to use the Word of God, but we also need to recognize that what it's for is finding out who we are. In fact, the last of that scripture in Hebrews says, "There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." See, God already knows what's going on in our hearts. The question is, are we willing to lay things down? Are we willing to go to the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to be that two-edged sword working in our lives, so that we're not surprised by what goes on in our hearts? God's not surprised by who you are. But God has a plan for you that sees you perfect, sees you perfected, sees you working through every issue. Let's practice our swords. When I was a kid, I was the oldest person in the church youth group growing up. And I grew up in a Protestant church. I don't know how it was in Catholic churches. I suspect you guys did not do this. But in a Protestant church, in the Sunday school or the youth group or even vacation Bible school, they would have what they called sword drills. Sword drills, everybody takes their Bible, take out all the bookmarks, takes out everything. They just have your Bible. And they would call out a verse. And the first person who could open to it would stand up and read it. I got to be really, really, really good at finding Scripture. And I was just as wicked as I could be. Knowing where things are in the Bible does not mean you've applied it to your life. We have to apply the Word of God to our life to allow God to change us. We have to let the Word of God sink in and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, to find out who we are and where we stand. Because God's got a plan for you. God has got something in mind for you. God is equipping you. He is working in you. Are we willing to allow that? Are we willing to be a part of that? "Lord, I see this area of my life and I really, really need you. Lord, I was hoping this was taken care of already, but I see it's not. Lord, please change me. Lord, your word tells me I have to forgive. There's this issue that I've been holding on to that I haven't forgiven. Lord, I will to forgive. I lay it down. Lord, change me. Work it in my heart. And we keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. In due season, we will reap if we do not faint. In due season, we'll reap if we don't give up trying. We are called to persevere. In Ephesians, where we talked about the armor of God, it says, having done all to stand, stand. Having done everything you can, be who God called you to be. Let God work in us. Going back to your armor. Loins girded about with truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Breastplate of righteousness. Helmet of salvation. Shield of faith. Sword of the Spirit. All of these things that God has given us, all these things that God has revealed in us, is for a purpose. That we can be His hands and feet extended. That we can be the example. We talked in the prayer time this morning about how so many that have been placed in positions to be examples for the young children have instead used that position for their own purposes, for their own agenda, and have not been the examples that we are each called to be, have not been a light, have not been a witness, have not been just a good person. Each and every one of us needs God to change them, to make us more like Jesus. Because of ourselves, we are desperately wicked. But because of Jesus, our sins are paid for. Because of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, we can examine what's going on in our hearts and in our lives and see who we are and see what we still need to submit to the Lord for Him to change. Because He's got a plan and a purpose. You are needed. You are needed by your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are needed by the body of Christ. The whole body is strengthened by that every joint supplies. We need each other. We can't afford to tear each other down. But we also can't afford for one of our brothers and sisters to just kick back and ignore the Word of God, kick back and ignore their lives, kick back and ignore the nudging of the Lord. We are in a desperate time, in a desperate age. Wickedness on every side. Certainly not the only time this has happened in history, but it's a wicked, wicked time. And we need to be lights in the midst of the darkness. So let's take that sword of the Spirit and examine ourselves. Examine our hearts. Examine our lives. That God be glorified in us. Father, we just come before You giving You praise and thanks. Lord, that You have made the way when there was no way. That You have set out a road map. Lord, that You have given us Your Word. And You even tell us in the Psalms how we can cleanse our way. That we can hide Your Word in our heart that we might not sin against You. That we can declare Your precepts. That we can live out Your commands, live out Your purpose. Lord, keep us. Lord, guide us. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, to just reflect upon Your Word and let Your Word pierce our heart and lay everything bare. We thank You for it, Father, and we give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.